We see the signs, we see what's happening today, and we are eager for his return. Father, we praise you that you're in control. You are sovereign. The kings of the nations take their stand. They try to tear you apart from them, and you just laugh. Father, we praise you that you are King of kings, Lord of lords, over all. And we pray that we would magnify you high during this hour as we have begun in this service. We pray that it would continue through this hour. May you be extolled in our hearts, in our minds. May we find courage and strength and boldness during these challenging days. We see the enemy working overtime. We see him doing horrific things here and around the world. But Father, he is already a defeated foe because of what Jesus did at Calvary. He will face his end, as we know. We've read to the end of the book. We know the end of the story. And we know where we are right now. We have a mission. We have a calling as believers in Jesus Christ to proclaim his name, to live for him, to follow him as our king, our head, to show him to the world while we have opportunity. Father, that day is coming when he's going to come in the clouds and call us home. We'll hear the trumpet. We'll be taken out. It might be before this service is done. But Father, whenever it is, we pray that he would find us faithful. He would find us a people who are serving him with passion, with joy, even in the midst of suffering and trial. We see throughout your word trials and difficulties that the people of God face. But we also see examples of men and women of God who served you faithfully, who endured those trials, experienced the joys of serving you in the midst of them, and of seeing themselves being used to advance your kingdom. And we pray that we would have that joy today, even as we leave today, renewed and refreshed and encouraged, that we would see you use us in the lives of lost people around us, relatives, neighbors, co-workers, anyone that you bring across our path. May we be faithful to proclaim the truth. And use us, we pray, for your glory. Father, bless this hour and all that is said and done. May your name be lifted high in the name of Jesus, your Son. May you be pleased in all that occurs during this time together. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be.
I guess we will be for a while. Anyway, we're in Acts chapter 15 and beginning at verse 36. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. All right. I did want to mention this morning situation, all the blessings that we enjoy. We just pray, our Father, that we would continue to be faithful to you, no matter whether we're enjoying those blessings or not. We think of the people who are torn apart because of this situation there in Afghanistan, Christians that are being left behind, and pastors that are in danger, and so many others, our Father, that have been torn apart, their homes abandoned, and so many tragic things happening. We just pray for them. We pray that many of them might put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as they have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. And Lord, we pray for comfort for those who've lost their loved ones. We know this has been going on now for 20 years of all these things that have happened there. And now it just seems like it's all going away tragically. And we just pray that you would undertake in a very real way. We do pray, our Father, for those that are in the way of the hurricane. We pray that you will watch over them, help them, and grant that we might know what to do in all these situations. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's certainly something to keep in our minds and hearts, that this world is not our home. We are only traveling through, and someday we'll be in your presence forevermore. And we rejoice in that. We pray for our missionaries today. We thank you for the work that they're doing. I do want to praise you especially for this answer to prayer, for this young lady that was in Afghanistan that has now returned home safely, and so many others. And we pray for all of the work of the missionaries, that you'll continue to use them to bring glory to your name and to bring people to Christ. May your holy will be done. Thank you so much, Lord, for all your wonderful mercy and grace to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to Acts chapter 15. We're looking here at Paul's second missionary journey. They had been, he and Barnabas had gone out for 3 years, you remember, and were reaching people with the gospel in virgin territory, a place where people had never heard the message before. And he had established these churches in these various cities where they had been. And so now, he suggests to Barnabas, let's go back and visit these churches once again, the cities where we were before, and see how they're doing. This was up in the area of Cilicia and Galatia. You remember Paul was from Tarsus, which is in the province of Cilicia. So this was his home area, and he's suggesting that they go back there and visit with these people again and encourage them, strengthen them, help them in their Christian life, and see how everything's going. You know, they didn't have the communications that we have today where they would know how everyone was. The letters many times would depend upon someone going that way. They could take a letter, but there wasn't any other form of communication. And so he says, let's go back and see how all these people are doing. You know, they had established these churches there and felt obligated and desirous of knowing more about what was going on. And so Barnabas said, oh yeah, that's great. Let's take John Mark with us. You know, he was with us last time we went. Paul said, wait just a minute. You remember what he did? When we got to Pamphylia, what happened? John Mark says, well, I'm going back to Jerusalem. He didn't go with them up into the work. They were going up to Antioch, up over the mountain. Some of the commentators say, well, maybe he didn't like, you know, that rough area. He's from Jerusalem, city boy, right? And so he went back home for one reason or another. We're not quite sure exactly why. But we find here a conflict developing about John Mark. And Barnabas wanted to take him with him. He was a relative, right? Now, as it depends on what translation you read. Some say he was a cousin. Some say he was a nephew. Anyway, he was related, right? And so Barnabas thought, hey, this is good. We can take him back with us again. He'll do better this time, I'm sure. You know? And but Paul said, no. There's no way we're going to do that. And they had, apparently, a disagreement, didn't they? They had an argument, it seems. It says here, the contention was so strong between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Wow. Two missionaries fighting? Oh, that's something, isn't it? Yeah. Well, missionaries are people. And people do have arguments, don't they? Right? And so we find here this dissension arising between them. And so they decide to part company. And so Barnabas, it says, took Mark, and he went to Cyprus. Now, Cyprus, you remember, was his home area. And it seems like this was natural that they would be concerned about the people in their home area. And so Barnabas took Mark, and they sailed over to the island of Cyprus to carry on the work there. And it's interesting to notice that from this point on in the book of Acts, Barnabas is not mentioned again. It's all about the Apostle Paul and what he's doing and the ministry. And it says here, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So it seems like Paul's mission was recognized by the church there, and they took on his work. No doubt, I mean, I'm sure they prayed for Barnabas and Mark as well, but the main thrust of the rest of the mission is going to be what Paul and Silas will be doing, right? As they go back to this area where they had been before. And it says that they went to the churches in Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So here we find they are going to carry on this ministry and reach out. And you know, the good thing about this is that instead of having just one missionary couple going out and serving in a certain area, now they've got two. Now, it might not have started out too well, you know, with the argument and all of that, and some hard feelings perhaps, but we see that that finally got settled. Even with Paul and his situation with Mark, he was upset with him. He thought he was a quitter, you know, that he had left the work and wasn't doing what he should have been doing. But later on, we find that he chose, in his later life, he said, bring Mark with you because he's profitable to me for the ministry, right? And we know, of course, he went on to write the Gospel of Mark. And God used him in a mighty way. It just took some time. He was young, and I guess he had to go through these experiences and grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. So God overruled and brought about a greater work because of what he was doing. It's like it says in Romans 8:28, right? For we know that all things work together for good to the glory of God, right? And so we can accept whatever God does. You know, that makes you think about the situation today, right? Horrible. all these things that's going on, and it makes you wonder, well, what in the world is happening? And yet, God is not dead, right? He's still there, and he will bring glory to himself out of whatever happens. And so we, as his children, should be submissive to his will and continue to pray and work and do whatever we can to make the situation as best as we can. But surrendering our wills to his. You know, it's like Jesus said, you know, if there's any possibility, take this cup away from me. I don't want it. Right? Nevertheless, thy will be done. And that's the way it has to be. So anyway, we find here now they have these two missionary teams going out, and we're going to see more about what Paul and Silas are involved in. Silas, of course, was from Jerusalem. He was one of the leaders up there, and it says in one place that he was a prophet. So he was a minister of the gospel, going out with Paul and serving in that way. So he's a Roman citizen. Paul speaks of both of them as being citizens later on. And so he had some advantages, and he chose him to go out and work with him. So here they're going out now, and we come to chapter 16. So they come down into this area of Derbe and Lystra, where they had been before. You remember, these are two of the cities that they must have been very close together. I'll have to look that up, because it always puts them together, doesn't it? Derbe and Lystra, very close. And it says there was a certain disciple there named Timotheus. Now we know a lot about Timothy, because Paul chose him to be his helper, his assistant, I guess in the place of Mark in this case, and to go out with him on this mission. It says he was the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and a believer. So here was one that was a Christian, and we're not sure about Timothy when he was saved. I've read that perhaps it was during Paul's first time he met him, or maybe he was already converted, because it speaks of him in other places about his mother and his grandmother teaching him from the time he was born the scriptures, and how that who he was and what he needed to do. Timothy was had a believing mother and grandmother. So that was a great blessing right there. His father, however, it says, was a Greek, and apparently not a believer. So they had a mixed marriage there, and that might have been had some problems, something that should not have been, but it was. And Timothy was influenced more, it seems, by his mother and grandmother, and they taught him the scriptures. And notice here, it says Paul chose him to go with them, and it says that he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So he had not been circumcised, and yet he had a Jewish mother, and so this was something that was required by the community, the Jewish community, in order for him to be accepted. Now, he was going to be serving with Paul among the Jews as well as Gentiles. And so in order to for him to have a better acceptance, Paul took him and had him circumcised. It's interesting to notice on contrast, Titus, who was a Gentile, was not circumcised. You see, that's the difference. And Paul had a philosophy, it seems, that whatever, you know, worked best is what he wanted to do, as long as it was acceptable to the Lord. He didn't, you know, he didn't want to do anything displeasing to God. But different circumstances require different things, right? And so here we find he's being accepted then by the Jewish community and able to serve along with Paul among them. And so they start out, and we find here in verse 4, that they went through the cities and delivered the decrees. You know, the Council of Jerusalem had just decreed that the Gentiles were not under the law, and that circumcision was not required of the Gentiles. And so now they're taking this news to all of these people, letting them know that, and also ministering in various ways to them, and seeking to be a blessing to the church. So they are taking the decree that was given out by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem, and establish the churches in the faith, and they increased in number daily. Isn't that wonderful? I think about that. Wouldn't that be wonderful if the church would increase daily? My goodness. We do good to have it increase yearly, or, you know, sometimes worse than that. But here we find the fervency of Paul and Silas and these others carrying on this ministry and going to these people with the Word of God, and God is blessing in such a marvelous way. The churches were increasing daily, continually. We saw that back at the beginning of Acts, and here it is, 16th chapter, and they're still growing like wildfire. Be wonderful if that was still true today. Or maybe in some places it is. I hope so. I've heard that many places that there is a great revival going on. Some places over in the Muslim world, people are being converted quite a bit. And just continue to pray about that. So here we find Paul's, I was going to read this, 1 Corinthians 9. How Paul looked at situations, how he his way of working among the people. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Read this. Notice what Paul says. He says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." So here we find Paul, as he says in one place, "I die daily," right? And I think he's willing to give up his prerogatives many times, his rights, if you will, in order to see people come to Christ, in order to see the gospel flourish and reaching people. Not compromising, but adjusting, I guess, to the situation and to wherever you are. When in Rome, do as Romans do. Is that what it says? Anyway, be careful what you're doing, though. Some of those Romans, you got to watch out. They may be doing things you don't want to be doing. Anyhow, we find here that they're moving along, establishing the churches and working together in a very great way. And notice what it says about the direction from the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the primary things I wanted to emphasize this morning, is how God guides in different ways. He guides sometimes in a negative way. He guides sometimes in a positive way. And here we find, beginning in verse 6, it says that they were traveling about. They went through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. And what does it say? Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. God forbade them to go and preach in this one particular area. Isn't that something? Now, when it says Asia there, it means a province, an Asia Minor. It's like over, I think, in Turkey, if I understand, today. But anyway, Asia Minor, not the whole continent, but a part of it. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to them. They were going to go and continue on in this direction where they were going. And the Holy Spirit says, no. Now, I don't know how he said it, you know, if it was out loud or they just had a sense of this or what. But somehow, God made it plain to them that they were not to go to this particular area. There was another place that they needed to be. This area, Asia Minor, was to the south, where Ephesus was the chief city. You know, and they spent a great deal of time in Ephesus. In other places, we have the epistle to the Ephesians and all that. But at this particular time, the Holy Spirit says, no, you can't go there. Don't go there. And so then they tried to go north into, it says, Bithynia. This is up the other way. But the Holy Spirit would not permit them to do that. It doesn't say how, but it was evident to them that the Holy Spirit did not want them to go there. So we see God directing, leading, and showing them where they need to go and to minister. It says the Spirit suffered them not to go there. And so they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now Troas is right there on the coast, right on the edge of the Aegean Sea. And there at Troas, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Okay? Macedonia, of course, you know where that is? That's in Greece, isn't it? Now, Paul had been doing all of his ministry in Asia. And all these different places where he'd been and established churches and everything else was all in Asia. And now we find he's having this vision of a man of Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And it says, we endeavored, verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So Paul had this vision, and he was assured that this is what the Holy Spirit is leading him to do, to go across the Aegean Sea into Greece, Macedonia. And notice what it says here. Before this, it kept saying they. They were doing this, and they were doing that. And, you know, it was always third person. Now it says, immediately we endeavor to go. Who's writing the book? Who's the author of this book? Anybody know? Who's writing the book of Acts? Anybody know? Luke. Okay, there you go. Dr. Luke. You remember him? Now, according to most scholars, he is the only Gentile among the writers of the New Testament. He's apparently a Gentile. We're not quite, I guess everybody's not sure about that. But at any rate, we find that somehow he comes into the picture. They're at Troas, and all of a sudden, Luke shows up, right? Here he is. So we take it that he must have lived in that area, and they came across each other. And after he saw this vision, it says immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So they had a change of their plans. They couldn't go the other way. So whereas the Holy Spirit had been leading them negatively, saying, no, you can't do this, now he says, go to it. Here he is. This positive direction. This vision that Paul had of the man of Macedonia. We don't know who that was. We find a little bit later on, Paul, when he goes over and begins preaching, it's a woman, isn't it? Lydia. We'll get to her a little bit later. But anyway, we find here an invitation to come over into Macedonia in this vision. And come over and help us. And so here he says, we gather that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel unto them. So here's direction that they are receiving. And he realized that this was God's call to them to go into Europe for the first time. So it's a wonderful thing to see how God directed them, you know, to branch out and to reach into this heathen area. These people had no knowledge of the gospel. There may have been a few Jewish people there that had studied the scriptures, but by and large, these Gentile people didn't know anything about the true and the living God. And Paul and his company are now going to be going there to proclaim the gospel. What a wonderful day that was. Think of that. That we, who most of us are of European background, I think. And now this is where we have the opportunity to hear the gospel, or our ancestors were able to hear it. They realized that this was God's call. And so they are going forth to reach these people with the gospel. So they left Troas and went across the sea and landed at Samothracia, it says in verse 11, and the next day on to Neapolis, and then they went from there to Philippi, which was one of the main cities of that area, and they were there certain days. So here we find how God has led them and directed them and showed them the way to go. And we'll see what they do next time, right? Leave a cliffhanger here. Wait, but anyway, we'll stop at that point and just ask the Lord to guide us and help us as we continue to seek to follow His directions. Father, we thank You for all Your grace and love to us, and thank You, Lord, for the way You led this missionary party into Europe, Lord, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. How we rejoice to know that You have reached out to so many people around the world. And today, anyone practically can hear the gospel of Christ. And we just pray, Lord, that You'll continue to help us to spread the good news to those who need to hear it. And that we might live in such a way that make our message believable. Lord, we just pray that You will bless the church and help the church to reach out around the world, dear Lord, with the blessed message of the gospel. May your holy will be done. We just thank you for all your goodness to us. And thank you for our salvation in Christ Jesus. We pray for anyone today who may be listening who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would call upon his name and receive him into their heart by faith. May your holy will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.